Thank you for choosing to listen to this message from our pastor, Brother Rob Coons. Let us enter now with the saints of God into a service already in progress.
Thankful to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. I want to read a scripture to you out of 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, the 6th verse. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Another scripture kind of paralleling along with it is in Job. It says, even as I have seen, they that plow iniquity and sow wickedness reap the same. Galatians, the 6th chapter. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit, of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. You see how large a letter I've written unto you with my own hand. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. Neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised, that they may glory in your flesh. But God forbid that I should glory save the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, for whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be unto them, and mercy, and upon the Israel of God. For henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you in spirit. Amen. Love the reading of the word. Amen. You know, brethren, there's this book, this compilation or compiling of these books called the Bible, many books. It's full of all, everything that has all answers pertaineth unto life, eternal and temporal, has the answers of all things. We need to have a desire for the word, a hunger for the word, a hunger for the truth, and the truth will set us free. You know, as I speak, possibly Lord allow me to expound on some of these scriptures, possibly. But as I speak to ministries and ministers, my heart more and more finds myself saddened for the people of this nation and of the globe or of the world. I know what it is to have a desire. I know what it is a man could have a true, genuine, and sincere desire. Let me say something natural to give you an example of something. I was in Home Depot or Lowe's, one of the two up here in the north side of town many years ago. And I was in there purchasing products. I was doing a job remodeling. And I was there grabbing, you know, diff, whatever it was, you know, thin set, backer board or whatever. And I was putting it on a cart, and I heard the gentleman working there. And I could tell you the couple that were there were planning on doing their own tile job. And they were being educated by the employee of Home Depot. Scary, right? You know, this guy got a job as a salesman. You know, he's not a tile man. And some of them do have product knowledge and education. I know I've been there and I've talked with employees there that were very knowledgeable with codes and laws, and some contractors have taken and been hired there. So I'm not making a blanket statement saying that they're all dumb, okay? But I'm just, the people were as sincere as could be with a desire. They wanted to save themselves money and do their own work. And I'm listening to him about product and telling him. And I'm thinking, oh no, this is going to be a disaster. And I just spoke up. I said, listen, buddy. I said, I don't mean to interrupt y'all, but I heard what you told him. And I said, that's going to be a real problem. And I said, you're going to have a problem. Your floor is going to come up. That's the wrong product. And the people were very thankful. And then they started asking me questions instead of the salesman. But I showed him right on the bag of the product he was selling that it wasn't for what they were doing. But there again, there was somebody with a desire, and they sought for help, and the help they got, were getting, was very wrong. And the results would have been disastrous. And you say, well, what are you talking about, preacher? Well, there's people that go through things in life, and the Spirit of God is drawing them. I think back when I was a very young man and God was drawing me. You know, where do you go? You know, well, go to this church. You know, some of you have some understanding of different theologies where you say, well, the Baptists believe this, the Methodists believe this, the Church of God believes this, Assembly of God believes this, Jehovah's Witness believes this. And some of you have a little bit of an understanding. Some of you have heard things that you think you understand or know, but you don't know, like the Bible said, what you ought to know. And sometimes we have people turning away from people and cutting people off and having nothing to do with people out of misunderstanding and what they think that they are or what they think they should be. But again, as I started out saying, I said, my heart goes out to people because they go to search and they go to seek. And they have a desire. They have a real desire. They're being drawn by the Spirit of God and they have a desire. And I know God will lead you into all truth. If you're sincere and have, and you might even find yourself in a church with doctrinal error. And God will lead you and draw you. But in that doctrinal error that you're in, I could tell you when I was in doctrinal error, in churches with doctrinal error, I was still learning. I was learning that I had to combat certain things. I was counseled that I had to overcome my temper. I was counseled that I had to get away from drugs and get away from alcohol. I was counseled to live a godly life. There was very beneficial things. Even though the work had false doctrine in it and errors, I was still growing in the grace and knowledge of God, but he'll lead you into all truth. And I ended up having to separate from these kind of works or some of these things that had doctrinal errors. But some people get so stumbled up, brethren, that they give up. Because they're being pulled, pushed, tugged, dragged, beat, everything you could imagine. It could be rather confusing, and a person could throw their hands up and say, man, I'm confused. We know where confusion's at. It's of the devil. We know where the works of the Lord is. I heard a statistic today. Now, I got to be careful. Sometimes things you repeat, and this comes through my preacher. But he said that there's 2.5 times more divorces in Christian people than in secular people in the world. Now, I don't know if that's the truth or not. And I thought, man, that just really startles me. And he said, he said, it shouldn't. This is what the man said to me. He goes, it shouldn't startle you at all. You should know and expect that with what's being taught in the churches today. You know, God loves everybody. I had a gentleman last night introduce a doctrine to me. I'm not going to be able to recall the name of it. And he was talking about this thing infiltrating these churches. He was talking as some kind of new thing. I said, sir, that has been intermingling and infiltrating every denomination for many years now. You know, it's just that Jesus loves everybody. Oh, he loves you just the way you are. He'll accept you just the way you are. He'll take you just the way you are. Boy, people like to believe that. They just don't know how to read their Bibles. So you go to a church, the minister's reproving, rebuking, exhorting, pressing, disciplining, discipling. And then you go to this church, oh, God loves you just the way you are, don't pay no attention. Well, which one would you want to go with? Brother Pike had a vision, young in the ministry or early years of his ministry. And he saw this big, big church, you know, and it just looked like everything a minister would want. And then he saw another work with a travail and a suffering, tribulations, persecutions. And he thought when he first saw the first vision, the first part of him, man, praise God, boy, this looks good. And then he saw the other one and he said, the Lord spoke to him in this and said, which one do you desire? And he said, you know, Lord, you know, Lord. It's a cross, a travail. So we preach a gospel. I could say that there's a gospel being preached, not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we read the Bible, New Testament doctrine, we find that we got to prepare and equip ourselves with a mind to suffer, to be persecuted, you know, to do good to them that do evil to us and hate us. You see, that doctrine is contrary to the doctrine of man. To the way that man thinks and the way that man looks and the way that man watches. You know, we're in a time in our country, in our land of gross darkness, yes. But we're in an entitlement mind. We've talked about this before. There's people feel like they're entitled to things. You know, and sometimes if a man would just look like, what makes me think anybody owes me anything? Think about it. What makes you think that somebody owes you anything? Now just think for a moment. I'm challenging you. And why would somebody owe you anything? Some say, well, God owes me this and God owes me that. God purchased and paid a price for your soul. And he done everything he can do for you. Now let's go back to the scriptures that I'm just reading. Now we're going to put the complications or the blessings or the things that are happening in your life, we're going to put it where the word goes to. 2 Corinthians again says, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. Well, God, how come this brother's blessed? Why is this man blessed? Why is this man? What about me? Your entitlement. You're a victim. And you're cursing yourself. Let me tell you something. You can go to a man and you could call a man and say, oh man, brother, I'm kind of having a problem, you know, and I this and that. And you could con him, make him feel sorry for you, make him have pity, and move for you. You could do that to man, but it doesn't work with God. God says you're hungry. Should he be moved with bowels of compassion for you? He says if you don't work, you don't eat. So he gives you scriptures that you could apply for yourself. Now listen, if a man is disabled and he can't or what, yeah, there's mercy and compassion and love and support and help. And it does put a burden on the work of the Lord and the people of Christ. But what I'm trying to say here is we want blessings with no sowing. We want blessings. You know, the Bible talks about the Lord, he reaped where he didn't sow. So that's what you want to do. Well, you're not understanding what it was saying. He reaped your sin where he didn't sow no sin. He was sinless with no sin. You understand that? But he reaped your sin. Do you want to do that? Would you like to do that? Well, see, we got to take the line upon line, the scriptures, and understand. But so many times we pray amiss. We petition the throne of God. And we should petition the throne of God to hear the voice of God. The Bible said the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. If I'm petitioning the throne, I'm petitioning the throne in communication, in conversation. I don't just want to come pour out my spirit or my heart without taking enough time to listen to what he's saying. He said, my sheep know my voice. But many times we You know, let's switch gears here for just a moment. I'm a pastor. I counsel people. I talk with people and I listen. And I could share different personalities and different people, but I used to have a man that would call me and he'd say, "Oh, Brother Rob." And man, I'm sitting there like this on the phone. And boy, he'd start spewing. Man, thus, thus, and thus, 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 and thus, 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 and thus. It was his boss. It was his brother. It was his children. It was this one and that one and this one and that one. And I would listen to this stuff for 15 minutes. And then I'd think, okay, now can I maybe offer some counsel? You know, if you're a doctor and a patient comes in and he says, "Doc, man, my elbow hurts, my shoulder hurts, I got a headache, my eyes are blurry," and he goes through all this stuff and spewing, and they go, okay, and he says, "Okay, thank you, bye," and walks out the door. You know, okay, I heard all these things, but can we talk about the remedy now? And here's this guy spews all this stuff to me, and about this time I said, "Well, look, Brother Rob, I got to go now." I thought maybe this was just something, you know. I thought, okay, this is kind of odd, you know, but okay, brother, God bless you, bye. And then I'd get another call from him. It wouldn't be too many days, and I'd get another call. Same thing again. And then I would try to, you know, to again counsel or say something. "Hey, Brother Rob, I got to go." That got old real quick, brethren. And finally, I started interrupting and started saying, "Wait a minute, let me say something now." Trying to help. But again, why did I bring that story up? Because this is sometimes we to God. "Oh, Lord, I got problems. Oh, Lord, I need help. Lord, I need this. Lord, I need that. Lord, I need this. Lord, I'm having this complication. Lord, I'm having this problem. Oh, God, this. Oh, God, that. Oh, Lord, help me. Oh, Jesus." And then, okay, man, praise God. And you're gone. And he's going, "Wow, I'd like to talk to you a little bit. I got a solution for this. I got a remedy for this. I got an antidote for this. I could help you with this. But we got to hear. My sheep know my voice, and a stranger they will not follow." So what if I'm following a stranger? Does that mean I'm not a sheep? Something to consider, wouldn't it? It'd be something to challenge a man to consider, to examine, to say, "Wait a minute, Lord God." You know, if we was all going to be really honest with ourselves with a little bit of humility, we could say that there's been times that we followed after the strange things, the uncertain sounds. But there was a check there in your spirit. If you're the elect of God, you're going to know that those times that you crossed up or violated or trespassed, there was something going on down in your inner part, down in that inner quickening part, was checking your spirit, telling you, hey, all the time. But we learn to press over that sometimes through rebellion, hard-headedness, which I know none of you know about any of that stuff. Bible does say all men's hearts are fashioned alike, you know, but that's them other people out there, man. That's not me, man, you know, praise God. But sometimes we learn, the Bible said we could sear our conscience over with a hot iron. We can get so conscious seared that we're not even hearing the discernment or hearing the voice of God. I talked about Sarah's little friends that come to church here. It startled my spirit. Because I really wanted to just friend and make friends and fellowship them, but I couldn't get their spirit. They were so calloused and so used to shunning the voice of God that they wouldn't even hear. And I couldn't penetrate their spirit, not one time. And I tried for a long time, tried to penetrate and tried to reach the spirit. There has to be a connection with the spirit. If they don't make that spiritual connection, they're gone. They're lost. I'm not damning these kids to hell. They're young. I'm trusting it's something. It could take some catastrophic event. I'm dealing with inmates and prisoners right now, every day. Some of these men had to be slapped down. They had to be knocked down. They had to be incarcerated to really get the voice of God and to slow down long enough to hear and to listen. You know, myself, I could talk about things it took for me to wake up and to consider God. I had to bury my brother. I had to bury my best friend. You know, then I had to bury another one. Several friends. I tell you, it was an epidemic of death around me in my youth, as a kid. An epidemic of death. I don't know how many of you say, well, when I was 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, up to 20 years old, well, I buried this friend, this friend. I don't know if any of you had that. But I did. Burying friends that were close to me. That I, you know, was as a kid. Buried two of them in one day. Neighbors. They decided they wanted to take their life. Kids. A 12-year-old. I told you this. He couldn't reach the trigger when he put the .22 rifle in his mouth. He couldn't reach the trigger. He was so small, 12 years old, that his buddy pulled the trigger for him. And then he turned and shot himself. You say, how do you know that? Because another friend of mine got there right afterwards, and one that was still alive, the second one that pulled the trigger on himself, he told him what he had done before he died. Those are just two. But I could talk about the other one's brother that I buried him just 2 months before. I say I buried him. I was there at his funeral. Good friends of mine. That was three of them right there. And then the next one was my best friend. And then my brother. And I'm thinking, you know what? Age really doesn't have a difference here in this thing. I had to start considering. Had to start losing people. And then I was in a very hazardous flying type business. And I'm starting to see things happening and different things thinking. I said, you know what? You don't know how many days you got on this old rock. Might ought to consider. Death doesn't have no respecter of age. It takes young people out. Little people. Babies. You know, so there's things we got to consider. We could thank God for his grace, his mercy. You know, we could think of, you know, young people going out maybe before the age of accountability in your mind or however you think about it. But I could tell you the age of accountability, they've been saying 12, 12, 12, 12 is just kind of a thought. And they go to the bar mitzvah and many things like that. But I'm telling you, the age of accountability is really coming down because of the much education, because of the social media, because what the kids are exposed to things, brethren, at 8 years old, at most 17 and 18-year-olds 20 years ago, it had never even been even in the realms of. Kids are dabbling with this. Moms and dads let them have all the free time they want with this social media and all this stuff, and they have no control of what they're doing, what they're feeding, what they're eating. But it's showing up in the whole generation, brethren. Now back to the thought, as the gentleman said, this divorce rate being higher in the church. He said, you shouldn't be shocked. He goes, look what they're teaching. Look what they're saying to people. Oh, God loves you just the way you are. And when you see pastors putting away their wives and running off with the secretary of the church or the piano player and these kind of things, they remarry. Why wouldn't it be more of a divorce rate in the churches? When they're seeing these things as the examples of their leadership doing this kind of stuff. But then yet, we preachers ain't supposed to speak about those things. Or come against it. You know, we're just self-righteous. You know, but I'll tell you, brethren, you've heard me make some pretty harsh, maybe to you might be harsh statements, but I said the harlot on the street corner has got a much better chance as them pastors that are doing those kind of things and hurting and damaging souls and people and lives. Now let's back up. Just talking with you a little bit this evening, brethren. So I back up and I say my heart goes out to the people. Truly, my heart goes to the people. Because the people have lost all of the landmarks. They've lost them. You know, I'm a pilot. Navigation, when you have maps. You know what the maps have on these aeronautical maps if you're flying a sectional for VFR flying? It's got landmarks. I mean, they'll show you every windmill. It'll show you the power lines. It'll show you the railroad tracks. It'll show you every mountain peak it's marked on there. Every peak. It'll show you every lake, every waterway, and everything. They're landmarks. And you know, with those landmarks, I could navigate and make where I'm going. But the Bible says not to remove the landmarks. And I'm thinking if I had a map, I know that when you're flying over the Sahara Desert, there's not too many landmarks. It's just a rolling sand. And when you're going over the ocean, there's not too many landmarks. There's none. It's a different deal altogether. But you see, think about navigation into the kingdom of God with no landmarks. They're very confusing. I find myself again talking with pastors and ministers and some of the things that they're telling me that they're going to be preaching and taking to their people and ministering in their churches. I'm thinking like, wow. You know, that's kind of unusual, you know, some of the things, some of the doctrines. But see, people find fault with me about some of my doctrines. I say we should dress godly and holy. But I've got a Bible for it. If I can't explain that to you in the Bible, I say, well, that's what Brother George taught. You ought to run from it. You didn't know who Brother George was. Some of you did, but you didn't know. Well, why should I do it because of what Brother George taught? If you're doing something because that's what the man taught, you need help. The man taught the Word of God. We do it not because of what Brother George taught. We've done it because of the Word of God. And we had a teacher teach us the Word. And we're convicted by the Word, and we follow the Word, and we're led by the Word. And this is why we do what we do. And we need to have an explanation of why we do what we do. Now, if my heart goes out to the people of this country and to the people of the land because the landmarks have been removed, the things that would set the guidelines of morality or the guidelines of things has all been vanished and taken away. So what are children supposed to do? What are youth supposed to do? They've lost the patterns. The barriers, the fences, the restraints have all been taken down and gone. Hey, if it feels good, it's all right. You see, we're seeing a flood of immorality. We're seeing the things that used to be hidden in closets, we might say, coming out of the closets. We see them coming out and they're being very, very bold, very arrogant. You say, that's been going on a long time. Well, it has. But I mean, it's in more so of a condition now. It's even more so, and now the legislation and the laws and the things are changing, and these people are taking leadership roles in the government. And they're establishing and rewriting laws in the land, and it's going to affect you. So I'm a son of God. It's not going to affect me. I'm not of this world. I'm not of America. I'm from the kingdom of God. I say, yay and amen. I teach the same thing. But it is going to affect us. The frightening part, brethren, isn't the end of America. That doesn't bother me. The collapse of America doesn't faze me one bit because I know it's going to happen. So why should I be fazed by it? America's going to collapse, brethren. Even beyond that, there won't be one stone on top of another. That's Bible. See, that doesn't trouble me. It doesn't faze me a bit. Matter of fact, everything that you know in this world is going to pass away. The Bible said the heavens and the earth passeth away, but the word abideth forever. But this is what does trouble me. Is that when I find that there's a generation and a people that cannot make a contact with the spirit world and get a genuine grip or hold of the Lord. That's what bothers me. You know, the chiding in some of the doctrinal things might be troublesome to some. I sat under a pastor that was very strong in interracial marriage. He spent a lot of time teaching the children and the youth. And we were in a time of his life. We're going to go into his life and talk about his upbringing. You know, you got to think it was in the 60s, you know, before a black man could ride in certain areas of a bus. This isn't a racial thing I'm talking about, but I'm just talking about the way culture was, the way America was and things. You know, it's just facts, brethren. It's the way it was. Wrong and right, whatever way you want to look at it. There was a lot of errors done, a lot of wrongs done to the Indians, to the blacks. A lot of wrongs have been done. As we read here, you know, God's not mocked. What we sow is what we reap, brethren. Brother Pike said America's going to reap for dropping them bombs on Hiroshima. One of them places over there. He said, we're going to reap that. He said, America will most definitely pay for that. Bombing and killing innocent children and babies and things. Some say, well, we saved lives. You know, we stopped the war, World War II, you know, with Japan. It stopped it. Cold in its tracks. There's a lot of pros and cons on that. I'm just telling you what the man of God said. What the Bible says. When we sow sparingly, we reap sparingly. A lot of times people take those things to finances, and you should. But you don't sow prayer time sparingly, you reap sparingly. Sow labors into the kingdom. Sow sparingly, reap sparingly. It has to do with you. God has a plan and a purpose for you, each and every one of you, your life. He has a complete plan and purpose for you, all children of God. But many times we could be considered what the Bible says, dull of hearing. We're not listening, we're not hearing, and we're following a stranger. Well, who would that be, Brother Rob? Who would be the stranger? Who would be this one that you would say a stranger? Well, when you're following after the passions of your flesh, following after your fleshly will, desires, wants, ambitions, following after pride, preeminence, those are strange things to God because he don't deal with those things. It's not in his attributes. It's not in his character. It's not in his spirit. Now, I know the Bible says that we're peculiar people and to be peculiar, but we're peculiar to the world, not to God. The things that are peculiar to God is those worldly, fleshly things. But we follow them, and then we spend much time building a doctrine and building God to accept them the way we are. You know, when we hear these things, expressions about, well, they've got, you know, 100,000 gods in India or a million gods in India or 10 zillion. I don't know how many gods they got over there. But you're an American. So you could be a theologian and tell me how many gods India has. But let me tell you as an American how many you have. Brother Pete was just sharing with me a couple days ago. He listened to a message of Brother Pike. And he was talking about all these different gods. All these different gods that people have. Do you know that people that are involved in sports have made these men, these sports heroes, into gods? And you might contest that and say, well, I don't think so. Well, I know so. They become a god to them. Let me tell you something. When people will miss church and go to a sport event or stay home and watch a sporting event on a television, they've made their God more preeminent than the real God. Do you realize that? And you say it's not a God to them? Your business could become a God. Your belly could become a God. Your appetite could be a God. It could be the most preeminent thing in your life. And we create gods and other gods. But again, as I made a statement here at the beginning of the service, I said my heart goes to the people. Now, I know that this is 2016 now, and I know that I got to be careful and things. But I seen a beautiful little baby, probably about 15 months old, sitting in the lap of a freak. A woman with long blonde hair. She had more pins in her than a porcupine. I'm not trying to be funny, but I mean, this woman had piercings. I mean, they're going through her eyebrows areas up here. She had more earrings in her ear. If I was a jeweler, man, I'd have loved her. Thank my God, I could sell you one earring. But I'd have to sell this one 30 pair, man. Yeah. But she had piercings and I mean, writing, markings, tattooings, and piercings all over her body. And here's this little beautiful baby's looking at this freak. You know, when I was a kid, where that woman would have been at? At the fair that come through town once a year, and she would have been in the freak show. Come on now. But I'm the freak for talking about it that way. That's what they would make me. They would make me the freak for even speaking like I'm speaking right now. But I'm telling you, those are the things that are meant for freak shows. That you pay a quarter when I was a kid, and you go in there. I remember the woman with the beard, and I remember, I can't remember all the different ones, but you, some of you guys maybe my age might remember some of them things. Some of you, if you was in a Christian home, you should have never been there, but I wasn't. My mama took me even. But you know, I probably wasn't a quarter. It's probably more like 10 cents. I'm going to go see this woman with the beard. I wanted to get behind that glass thing and see if I can pull it off. But you know, but now think about this little baby. How's it raising up? So here, just in the last few days, I see an article and look at it or whatever. And two men adopt a little baby. And they were talking about how much they love each other and they wanted this baby, and now two men. For as far as I'm concerned, the judge that would sign the adoption papers to give a beautiful little baby to two homosexual men, the judge needs to be incarcerated for the rest of his life. Amen. He needs to be incarcerated. And if you want to say, I think you'll go far that, give capital punishment, I'll put my name on the ballot. Amen. That's the way I feel about it. Because they're going to doom that child to hell. You say, oh, you don't know that, Brother Rob. Well, I might know more than you think I do. I'm just talking about that child's going to raise up at home that's going to be considered normal. You see, the things that I look at and judge as ungodly and unnormal, there's people in this generation and a younger thing, they look at me like some kind of a freak. And they think, what's wrong with you? I told you I had a picture. I wanted to bring it over here, but it showed a woman that was arrested in 1901 in New York Beach for indecent exposure. She was dressed better than some women that show up in churches today. But you see the standards? What am I talking about? Landmarks? What am I talking about? Things of, you know, what makes you think that was right and this is wrong? Well, let's talk about that for just a second here. Let's talk about that. The morals, the divorce rates, the children that are born in unwed homes, and all the things that have taken place in this day and hour that are catastrophic, I might say, in proportions to what it was in that time. There was standards and morals, even in the heathen people. In the 60s, it was a shame for heathens to go through a divorce. Do you realize that? Women would take beatings and women would do a lot of things because they did not want to be numbered with divorce. Because that was just a terrible thing. But nowadays, it's as common. Everybody accepts it. Yeah, well, I didn't like her no more. I listened to this preacher and he said, I got to find my soulmate. That preacher should be in there with that judge that gave the two babies. There ain't no such thing if you're looking for a soulmate. That's just another lie from hell. You ain't going to find you no soulmate. Well, I love my wife. Don't tell me that. Now, let me tell you something. Every marriage and every relationship is going to take work, and it's going to take prayer, and it's going to take love. It's going to take guidance. It's going to take acceptance. It's going to take swallowing, suffering. Amen? And you got to build it. Oh, but you know, if some preacher's going to tell you, oh, you got to find this one, every marriage can take work. Every one of them. But see, these are the kind of things that people plan in people's mind. Well, I got the wrong one. No, you didn't get the wrong one. You got the absolutely right one. You just got to know how to cultivate, to sow. You sow sparingly, you reap sparingly. You sow love into your wife, sow love into your husband, sow concern, show appreciation, show gratitude. Guess what you're going to get back? But you want those things with no sowing. Now we're going to talk about your relationship with God. Same thing. God, I want you to do this for me. But you don't want to sow. You don't want to give. You don't want to press. Oh, God, I want you to do this for me. God, I need your help. God, I need this. God, I need that. But all he's doing is waiting for you to make the first move. Show me in the Bible where he moved before someone else did. Moses had to lead the people out into a place. No provisions, nothing. God moved for him. The priest had to take the Ark of the Covenant and take off towards the Jordan. When their feet got there, it parted. It didn't part, and then they said, let's go now. The Bible made sure that you knew that it was beyond the flood stage. It was beyond the banks. It was at high. It was a high river. So he's just saying, oh, it wasn't just low water level that they just went across. He let them know in the Bible that, hey, it was flood stage when they went across. Come on now. Well, let's wait until, you know, the flood levels go down. No. But they made a move. They made a move for them. Everything God requires an action on your part. The book of Acts is the beginning of the new church, and that book of Acts has got actions in it. The actions, he said, go and tarry there until you're endued with power. There was an action. They went, they sought the Lord, and God met them. And when they sought him, God met them. Amen? They moved and followed the Lord, and God met them. They reached, they sowed. The woman, she could have fed her son, and herself another meal, and went and died like they said. But they listened and met the prophet of God and done what he said. And then God would not allow that meal to go slack or the oil. But they moved. They made an action. They made a move. You see, you keep talking to God and pleading with God and asking God to move in your behalf, and he's just sitting there looking at you, waiting on you to make an action, to do something, you know. And you say, well, you know, like I made a statement the other day, a guy said, well, if I had $1 million, preach, I'd give you $500,000. Preach said, well, how much money you got? $40 will give me 20. When we was over at the church on Fairfield, a brother come up and ministered the word that morning. He was visiting from down in Georgia. Comes after service, and he said, man, I enjoyed the service, Brother Rob. But he goes, I got one thing to find fault with you. And I go, oh, great, I'm sure just one, right? And I said, well, what's that, brother? And he goes, well, you didn't take up an offering. And I said, well, here you go. And I put my hand out. You should have seen a man backstroking, man. I said, well, go ahead, brother, here. Like that boy, and I mean, he started back, so he didn't have no intention of getting no money. He just wanted to find fault. Oh, I guess that's where the old saying is, they put the money where the mouth's at, huh? Amen. Praise the Lord. You love the Lord? If I ask each one of you, if I was going to take time to interview every one of you tonight, openly, I said, Brother Andy, let me ask you a question. You want the blessings of the Lord? And I know what he'd say. Well, sure I do. And I know what the brother does. I know what Brother Ed does, Pete does. I know what you brethren do. But I could interview each one and say, what is your desire? And I think all of our desires would be the same. I want to walk in the blessings of the Lord. I want to walk in the provisions of the kingdom. I want to walk in the counsel of God. Now, we could pray about these things, talk about these things, quote these things. But then yet, there's something different than fulfilling them. The Bible said, you praise me with your lips, but your heart's far from me. The Bible said, you know, again, to be a doer of the word, not just hearers only. So you're hearing tonight. I could say, I'm trusting that you're hearing. The Bible said some don't even have ears to hear. But I'm trusting that you're hearing tonight, right? I'm trusting that you're hearing what God is expressing. Oh, this is no great revelation, Brother Rob. No, it isn't. The things of God are very simple. But the things that are complicated is the application or the applying of them. Because the complication comes in, like I said, my heart goes out to the people of this country. Because there have ministers and preachers and Facebook and Google, and they've got everything at their fingertips that is telling them contrary to that Bible. And they're eating that. They're partaking of that. You know, and I'm not going to bore you with this or get into some lengthy thing here, but I was sincere back 3 or 4 years ago when I wanted to lose some weight. I was very sincere, so I'd done what the same thing people do when they want to find God. When they want to find about some religious revelation or religious understanding, I started reading. You know, I started reading about these, and, you know, everything was tainted with finance. Oh, if you'd buy this book for $29.95, this is a $69 book, but today it's for you for $29.95. Just today only. Oh, man. That's how I lost weight, paying for the books. Going out there working, you know, to buy the books, you know. But I was sincere. I said, I got to do something. So I thought, okay, I read over here and I read over there and read over here. Okay, well, I'll do this. Oh, it worked. It was terrible, though, but it worked. And it was an easier way to get the same results. An easier way. A more healthy way and a better way. But you see, I read and I took it as, okay, you know, hey, these people, you know, they got a degree in foodology, and I don't know what you call it. I'm a dietitian, you know. I got a master's degree in gutology or whatever. I don't care, man, but whatever they got. And you read it. And they all got the right idea, and they all have the right thing. But you know, the Baptist preacher is going to tell you the same thing, ain't he? The Methodist preacher is going to tell you the same. Man, we're the ones that are right. Praise God. Church of God, Assemblies of God, the oneness, the two-ness, the three-ness. You know, you need to get baptized and just get sprinkled. No, you got to be submerged. You need to go to church on Saturday. No, you need to go to church on Sunday. You can cut your hair, you can't cut your hair. It's okay to strip off like a whore and go to the beach. No, you can't do that. You know, come on, man. It's the same thing, brethren. Everybody's got these things, but we got to get to the root of it, to the word of it. So again, I was saying I was sincere and I looked and I found something. Yes, I applied it and worked, but I was miserable. But there was a better way. And there's people that are trying to find God and walk with God and follow God, but they're listening to tainted doctrines that are tainted with things that aren't good. They pervert your mind. Well, God, you know, wouldn't let that happen to me. Well, God would not like that to happen to you, but again, we're going to go back to the beginning. We got to have a time when we pray to listen. And you're going to hear him drawing you and leading you. There was the brethren of Little Bethlehem, the brotherhood there. I could say Brother Pike's expression, he said, we all forsook him or left him or failed. And he told us something. He said, brethren, what you did is you violated your conscience. You crossed over your conscience. He said, that's where you went wrong. He said, you crossed over your conscience. And see, if your conscience is dealing with you, God deals with you through your conscience, okay? A beast doesn't have a conscience. So if a beast comes into the house of God, you could pour your heart out and they got no conscience. You ain't going to faze them a bit. That's what could be very troublesome. But if you're a child of God, the elect before the foundation of the world, you're going to have a conscience in you. And God's going to deal with you through that conscience mind. He's going to be speaking to you, pressing you, and pushing you in the conscience. You keep pressing over that conscience and pressing over that conscience. It says it'll be seared over as with a hot iron. We don't want to do that. Now I'm going to back up to the statement that people have troubles with when I said the little beautiful 15-month-old baby in the arms of a freak. This little child is going to grow up not knowing what normal is. You understand that? And we got a generation of people right now that aren't going to really ever know the doctrine of Jesus Christ. Because they're rewriting all the Bibles. They're putting new Bibles out there all the time. They're pushing the King James Bibles out. And they're pushing these other doctrines and other Bibles. And they're getting all these books from these pretty boy preachers. And they're not going to know. What is the landmarks? What's the standards here? And this is why we got to be careful. We got to be careful of what we're eating from. Because we start eating from things and all of a sudden we've desired an appetite for those things. I shared with you when I was a little boy. I raised up in a heathen home. Dad would say, hey son, go get me a beer out of the refrigerator. I'm talking about a little old kid. I don't know how old you have to be to start getting them. We had to use a can opener in them days, you know. But I'd go get it. And I remember the first day I took it. I mean, one day, man, I'm back there behind the thing and I'm peeking over. And man, I about spit it all over the floor. I thought, that's the nastiest stuff you can put in your mouth. What in the world would somebody want to drink this stuff for? But you see, you keep on messing around with it, and pretty soon you'll start liking it. Something that was nasty, that was God just saying, hey, in the normal realms, hey, that ain't no good for you. You don't need that stuff. He put something natural in a child saying, this ain't right. This ain't good. And then you keep pressing on, and all of a sudden you desire it. And pretty soon you can't get enough of it. And you want more of it. Yeah, I wanted to be like my daddy, like every other boy did. You know, boys are supposed to look up to dads. My dad smoked. So what did I do as a kid? I wanted to be big. I wanted to be like my dad. Well, you should have seen that first experience. I'm sure the first time, some of you that smoked before, the first time you took, yeah, that's pretty good. Cough, gag, choke, and puke. That's God trying to tell you something. Hey, this is poisoning you. But what do? You press over it, learn to do it. Raised up on an airport, and Dad flew for the president of Cattlemen's Association, so I decided to go out on the feedlot, work with the cowboys. This old cowboy pulls this Copenhagen out of his pocket, he puts something in, and he went like this to me. Man, I'd never had that junk in my mouth. But you know, I wanted to be with the cowboys, you know what I'm saying? Hey, I'm out of here. Hey, yeah, man. Man, and pretty soon, I'm telling you, 5 minutes. Man, I'm telling you what, the sky was spinning. I thought I was in a toilet bowl going around and around. I was laying flat on my back out there. All the cowboys got the biggest kick out of that. Look at that city boy. They laughed. I was sick for 4 hours, man. My brother had to load me up in the car, and I laid in the back seat, sick as a dog. Yeah, give me some more of that stuff. You know, to keep on doing it, and you keep on doing it until you start liking it. Pretty ignorant, ain't it? See, God talks to us. Those are simple little natural things, God. But then yet, here we are, sons of God, and we're talking about partaking of another world and things, and our conscience should be saying, whoa, you know better than that. Don't do that. Stop there. You know better than that. But we keep pressing over it, and pretty soon it's desirable. Pretty soon we like it. Pretty soon we require a taste for it. And pretty soon it don't even bother us and don't even faze us. I talked to a man up here, worked in an auto parts store, had a big old dip in his mouth. You know what he told me? He don't even spit the stuff out. He said he swallows it. Swallows, that's a North Carolina word. I'm learning how to speak North Carolinian. Swallows it. He didn't have worms. I promise you that. He probably didn't have much of a gut lining either. But come on. You know, he had to condition himself to do something like that. But what we're talking about is things that is not pleasing to God. You sow sparingly, you reap sparingly. And we start sowing into this other realm, this other dimension, and we start cutting ourselves off from God. We cannot cry to God at any given time, brethren, and say, God, why me? What about me? God, why is this? This ain't right or this ain't fair. He's given you everything, given you the same and every opportunity that every man and every woman has ever had. And if you're lacking in anything anywhere, you never can blame God, ever. Come on, brethren. You cannot blame God. You make his word alive when you do. I'm telling you, if you sow into his kingdom, you sow into his word, sow into his people, and you give your life as a living sacrifice, and you give to him, I promise you that you will reap, thus saith the Lord, the abundance of all the kingdom of heaven. It's a fact. It isn't a hit and miss. It's not a lottery. It's not a trial and error. It's not a maybe. I'm telling you, God's word is thus saith the Lord, and it's yea and amen, and let his word be true, and every man be a liar. If you will sow into the word and into the kingdom by the guidelines of this Bible, it'll fulfill itself to you in the fullness. I'm telling you, it's not hit and miss. God will answer his word every time. He'll fulfill his word every single time. His word isn't a hit and miss. It's not a by chance. It's every single time. Things are hid, brethren, from the wise and the prudent. He did make this statement. He said, if a man went out here and sowed, and the harvest was immediate, and reap, he said then there would be people that ain't right with him, being partakers. But he said, there's a time period between the sow and the reap. And he said, if they don't have the Spirit of God, They won't have the patience to wait. Now, a natural farmer has the patience when he sows into the ground. He has the patience to wait. But many times, because we live in a microwave, instantaneous society, we're upset when we're in line at McDonald's because it took them 2 minutes and 8 seconds to get a double burger to us. When there was a time that when you ordered a hamburger in a restaurant, you better be hanging out for about 20 minutes to get your burger. But we're in a fast society. Everything's right now. And this is what we want God to fit in that. You know, we can go over where it speaks about Daniel, it's 21 days. You know, this messenger of God was sent the day you petitioned the throne. But there was a travail through the prince of Persia, I believe. And it was a travail and a struggle. But, you know, hang on and toil and wait. And so oftentimes, brethren, we pray about something, we desire something, we want something, and we, okay, praise God, hallelujah, I feel good about it. But then yet it doesn't come in your timetable, in your perspective, and about the time it's there, you move on and got another thing going. That's called a double-minded man. If you pray and talk to the Lord and trust the Lord, you need to wait for the fulfillment of it. I'll tell you things that trouble me. A minister, a Christian, whatever, and they come say, well, you know, the Lord spoke to me and told me thus, us, and us. And this is what I'm to do. And I'm thinking, well, praise God. And then you see him a week later and God's got another plan for him and they never fulfilled the first one. Let me ask you, if you're ignorant, to make God ignorant like that. Andy's an employer. And let's say that he's needing this job done over here in town. He says, Brother Rob, can you take care of that for me? I say, yes, sir, man, I'll take care of it, brother. No problem. And he goes, okay, man, here's the address. Here's the customer's phone number. The material's sitting up here at the tile store. And I said, man, don't worry about it, brother. I got this thing, man. You got the man here. Woohoo, man, I'm the man. Okay? And then they get a call from the customer. And he gets the call and says, hey, I thought you was going to do my job today. Brother Rob's not there. Ain't nobody over here. Okay, so then he's dealing with an irate customer. He calls me up, well, hey man, this came up and thus, us, and us, and I had to do this, and you know, and thus, us, I had to get a manicure, and you know, whatever. So then Andy said, okay, I'm going to suffer the wrong. So here a couple, three, 4 days later, he comes and he said, look, I'm pressed out, I need some help. Oh man, I'm the man. Woohoo, man, I'm the guy. Man, I got my knee pads on, son. I'm ready to go, Andy. So then it happens again. You say, wow, that's unfortunate. Andy's not ignorant. Pretty soon he's going to say, I can put no confidence in this guy at all. I can't put any confidence in this guy. Zero. He lets me down. He doesn't show up. He doesn't do this. So then all of a sudden he backs away. He doesn't have no work for me. Now, whose fault is it? That sorry rascal, he's working Brother Pete. Man, he's working Brother Manny. He's working Brother, why don't he give me no work? That's what, now come on, I'm talking about your human nature. That's the way people do. They violate people, and then they make them the enemy. Well, guy ain't right with God. Well, that brother, man, he's driving a brand new truck, and, you know, and he's giving him work. I can't even feed my family. You see, that's human nature. That's the nature of a devil is what it really is. But now what I'm saying, though, and I'm going to close, but I'm saying this is a man, and he's got more sense to keep on giving a man work that doesn't fulfill. Now we're going to talk about your relationship with God. Oh, God, here I am. Use me. Here I am, Lord God. I want to be used of the Lord. I got inspired at church. Amen. I felt the tingling of the Holy Ghost. Now use me, Lord God. And he says, okay, brother. And then you don't move, and you don't fulfill, and you don't step out, and you don't go forth, and you don't travail, and you don't get under the burden of the plow. And then you keep saying and petitioning the throne, and then you look over at this guy and say, but look at him, he's being blessed. Look at this guy, he's doing this, and look at this guy. Brethren, the blessings of the Lord go far beyond just prosperity. You know, we think, oh, I got a home, I got a car, I got lights. Yeah, those are the blessings of the Lord, brethren. We know little children that are dying in other countries and things because they don't have provisions. Yeah, be thankful for those things. But the blessings of God go so much farther than that. Because I know people that got mansions and they got airplanes and they got sports cars and they got motorcycles and they got horses. They got everything their fleshly little heart desires, but they don't have peace. Do you know that the peace of God and the peace of mind is a great blessing of God? It is something that is a blessing that you can't purchase and you can't buy. But it can be granted unto you by God because your conscience is clear with him. And you have a peace that surpasses understanding because you have a relationship with him. You have communication with him. Amen? Amen. You communicate with him and you speak to him. Verse 6 right here, we started in 7. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Communicate. You know why marriages fail? Lack of communication. Communication ain't screaming, yelling, speaking ill, speaking evil, insulting. That's not communication. That's called insulting. Shut your mouth, you stinking sweat hog. Oh, yeah, that's real good communication. Yeah, that works every time. You're not getting no dinner tonight. We're communicating, man. We got some good communication going here. We may as well laugh or cry. One or the other, say, oh, me, or amen, or help me, Jesus, something. Amen. Communication. Communication. We need communication with God. Brother Pike taught this. If you don't have communication with your own spouse, you ain't got communication with God. Come on now. Can we examine? Can we look? Can we consider? Can we press for something? Can we push for more? Can we start thinking like, God, I need help. I need some help, Lord God. I want to grow in the grace and knowledge. I want to be a better person. I want to be a better servant. I mean, is that your desire? Are you content? You know, and I know we should be content in all things, but, you know, we shouldn't be content in this aspect that, well, I've done enough for God this week. I'm okay. We should be pressing for more, desiring to give more, lay our life down, desiring more. Communication is a very important thing. So as we close the service here, we're going to back up to just at the beginning where we spoke. Stand with me, for you know that we're really closing. At the beginning, we started out talking about listening, not just praying. Listening, not just praying. Sometimes prayer could be a meditation in such a way that you just find a place to get quiet and listen. Quiet and listen. And then you're going to start differentiating between what you're hearing. Because you're going to, when you get quiet and you get still, there's going to be another that wants to come and take advantage of that time and of that moment. So now we're differentiating and discerning of what we're listening to, who we're listening to. We want to know the voice of God. We want to know and be numbered with Him. By faith, you could say, brother, I know that I'm God's elect. And I know a sheep hears voice, and I'm going on that, and I know that I'm hearing the voice of God. That's good. That's a wonderful thing. I appreciate that kind of a testimony or that kind of a profession, and that's what we need to have. But at the same time, brethren, we got to know that there's a deceiver, and he's going to move in to your prayer time, and he's going to start speaking to you. I went into a vision or a trance, and it had to do with a man. And the Lord was showing me, it was so much exactly like the real spirit of revelation. I mean, where it was just rolling through you. I've had it go through me like, it feels like something like is water running through you, like purging through you. And it's just like, it's just an awesome thing. I've had numerous experiences of this. Well, this was very similar to that. And I'm thinking, wow, this is unreal. But then my stomach just started locking up. And it was like I had a knife sticking in my gut. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, I'm not accustomed to pain with this other. I'm not accustomed to the pain when it's the Lord. And I was hurting so bad that I physically was in my own bed. And I was physically doubled over in my bed with a physical pain. And this was in a trance because I was wide awake now in hurting and travail. And this pain and this thing was happening in my body. And then all of a sudden, I started verbally rebuking this in the name of Jesus. And I started rebuking it, and it started to depart and started to leave. And then as soon as it departed, I laid there like, wow, what just happened? Because it was one of the most awesome things, and it was a really account of activities of the brotherhood. Perfect activities that really happened. And I was seeing this, and it was saying, this is what this had to do with, and this is what this one had to do with, this is what this had to do with. And it was very allegoric, and it sounded just like the beautiful plan of Revelation. And I'm watching this whole thing going, wow. And then this pain came and I doubled over. And then I prayed, I rebuked it, the pain left, and the Lord started to talk to me. He goes, I wanted to show you this brother's life. And this is what this brother does and what he goes through. And he said, it's not me. It was a revelation that wasn't God. But it sounded like God. It looked like God. It tasted like it. Everything looked so perfect. But then yet God had to put a knife in my gut to know that it was killing and destroying. The man ended up leaving the work because of this very thing. He knew your life, Brother Ed. He knew Pete's life. He knew Randy's life. He knew everything about you, and he could work it all out in the revelation of God. And he didn't have any idea about unity, submission, and brotherly love. And it destroyed. It destroyed. I could start talking about the consequences. The Bible said, what you sow is what you reap. You sow sparingly, you reap sparingly. And I watched the things that were being sowed in his heart and in his mind, in his conversations, in his thoughts, in his attitude. And he reaped death and loss of so many things. So many things, brother. If I started unveiling the things, I'd have to get into personalities. But I could take you through countless, countless, countless cost. What do you mean by cost? Price to pay. Pay here and pay here. Suffering, travail, cost of more suffering, more travail with children, with wives in the plural. Travail, suffering, complications from not submission and listening to the voice of God. Brethren, if you would make yourself to be the least of all, you'll come to a great, awesome revelation, because you're not going to be in a competitiveness to be the best. Take the least position. Wash your brother's feet. Esteem them greater than yourself. Do good to them. Help them. Help them to prosper. Bless them. Do everything you can for them. This is why some can't prosper and find the right place, is because they're always seeking their own instead of seeking others. You start seeking somebody else's prosperity, somebody else's blessings, God will bless you. He will bless you, brother. He will bless you in ways that you could never find. The heathen man could go out there and seek the blessings and find them. But the Christian man, it doesn't work that way. The Christian man should seek the blessings, don't misunderstand me, but not seek them for his own gain. It's more blessed to give than it is to receive. So the Christian man, he is so blessed giving and giving and giving. But you know what? God just keeps giving back. He found a revelation. He's given not sparingly. He's given willingly, given out of everything. Not out of abundance, given out of need. And God's just giving back. But see, we get our selfishness in the way. We get our desires in the way. We get our business, our wants, our life, our families in the way. Don't do that. You want a strong family? Help somebody else's family. You want a tight family? Help somebody else tighten their family up. Amen? And you say, well, maybe you need to do that, Brother Rob. That's what I'm preaching to myself up here. Amen. I need help too, brother. I love the Lord. You know, because I'm a preacher don't mean I got all the T's crossed and I's dotted. I could talk about what God's done for me, but I'm talking about what he wants me to do for him. And I'm entering into his labors. Amen. And I thank you for the help. Praise God. We kind of started down here about verse 6. Let me read these first 5 verses to go along with the latter part of that chapter. And we're going to open the altars are open and we won't tarry much longer. Verse 1 says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are carnal. You know, don't say that. We'll make sure you're listening. Ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. There's a wonderful big message in that verse. Bear ye one another burdens. Come on now, brethren. Bear ye one another's burdens. Bear ye one another's burdens. And so fulfill the law of Christ. The law of Christ is to bear somebody else's burdens. Now we're talking about entering into the blessings of God. But sometimes we think the blessings of God is somebody sharing, taking your burdens. But he said, we're to get into somebody else's burdens. Like I said, if God burns you to feed people, you'll never go hungry. If he burns you to clothe people, you'll never lack clothing. I promise you that. You love people and you'll find love. Whatever you give and whatever you sow, God will add an increase and add it back to you. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. A lot of deception in our land because men think they're something when they're really nothing. All men's hearts flash like, come on now. But let every man prove his own work. You can try to prove mine. That's okay, but you're an heir. Prove the work of your own. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. And you say, well, that almost sounds contrary to what it said right up there before about bear ye one another's burdens. See, it didn't say we didn't have burdens, but it said we bear the other one's burdens. And then he helps us with our own burden. You know how he helps me with my burden? By helping you with your burden. And then I got the help of the Lord in my burden. Does that mean he's going to do it all? He's going to bless me when I'm doing it. You understand that? He's going to put a blessing on my labor. He's going to put a blessing on my time. He's going to put a blessing on my finances. He's going to put a blessing on my thoughts. He's going to put a blessing on my marriage. He's going to put a blessing on everything around me, brother, because I'm seeking, as the Word of God says, to be partakers with another man's burdens. Amen. And then he's going to help me with mine. That's God's way, brethren. It's all the way through the scriptures in the Word. Let's sing this song again. Amen. As we close the service. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
We hope this message has enlightened and encouraged you. If you would like to receive other messages and teachings from Brother Rob, please feel free to contact us. Our web address is christiantempleonline.org. Or you may write us at Christian Temple, 3844 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina, 27350. We, the brothers and sisters of Christian Temple, would like to invite you to come worship with us. Our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday and Friday nights. We are located at 3842 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina, 27350. For directions, go to christiantempleonline.org/map. Thank you again for listening, and may God richly bless you.